This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wawinjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, good evening. It's a beautiful, beautiful evening here in Naarm. This is Maddie. You are of course, on Urban Dreamings. It's a skeleton staff this evening. I've got Gracie pushing my buttons. Hi, Gracie.
Hi, I'm here.
You're here.
He's a bit of a skeleton staff tonight.
I know.
Though.
It's Gal's birthday. So, Gal, hopefully you're listening.
Happy birthday.
And Sarami is, of course, off treading the boards for his show, Big Heart, which is a massive show. But we have a huge show on here this evening. Not to be outdone by the huge show that was World Wide Wave. Thanks to Matt and Will and the team for taking us all the way to the UAE this evening. But tonight we're going to be chatting with Edie from Blackfellas for Marriage Equality and actor Layla Thacker this evening about her shows. So it is going to be a massive one. I think what we're going to do is we're going to kick off straight away with a song to get us ready to chat with Edie. So this is Too Black, Too Strong from AB Original.
Pay stacks to see him fuck it up worse than that's a winter wax museum. This plasticine like plasticine. You see the mold is old and the facts are big. Then I rock shows like I had 4 points, 8 microphones and cost so much it's selling Morse code. So fuck you and where your horse go. Cause once you see the door stall it's too late. That's your torso.
Call me the man that's too black. Who's the planet? Said authority keeps stopping me, then asking me to move on. That's calculated. Medicine is out of date. And man, they fucking love it when you sound afraid. But this is not that one. This my mother's black son. Driving like they stole it. Blindfold and eyes closed. Wearing a pair of bifocals. And I'm still rocking. Them black bodies still dropping. Still filling prisons. Still filling coffins.
The A, the B, original. What the fuck? A, the B, original.
In the area, smart black man with a plan, nothing scarier than blackout. Yeah, they still wanna kick the blacks out. Yeah, I get the feeling that I'm dead, even though I'm still here walking. All said and done, I can still hear talking the blackout. Yeah, they still wanna kick the blacks out. Yeah, they still wanna kick the.
They can never do it better than this. And if they say that they did, then the terrorists win. It's the AB or Rich in LA, huh? Bringing that dope shit even if they aren't. They wouldn't know rap if a jab their trap and snap their back. I'm like a breath of fresh air in a fresh pair. Watching your demise with a stogie in the deck chair.
I'm check the method. Roll another blunt until a chest infection. Right up till it sounds like a dial-up internet connection. Get it like it's credit at the deli when you're hanging. More rap tours than John Hammond. God damn it, bring a famine to your food court. In just one hush, tell them happy as a pig. Two girls, one cup. Brother, run up and get wrecked. My Netflix and chill till I hit it with that scut. This is it.
Before you tap out,
it's the blackout.
like you didn't see it coming. It's a blackout, like I'm here with my cousins.
The atheist afraid couldn't handle the God. The hand of the bride could try to handle the knot. He's gonna dismantle your squad, the damage was done. He's fought something like Kardashian's
son. You can catch me at that pie cart, maxing out my tab with Gina Reinhardt.
That's frightening.
I hit you with that Andrew Bolt of lightning. Right inside your fucking comfort zone, choking from them undertones. You cater to the nature of the dumb and watch your bundle grow.
Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
I've got someone who is too black, too deadly here next to me. This is Edie, who's a proud Wiradjuri woman, and Tasha. Now, Tasha's not in the studio, but we'll talk about her in a little bit. She's actually creating a speech for tomorrow's rally. They're leading the Blackfellas for Marriage Equality campaign. As two queer Blackfellas, we know how distressing and upset the No campaign is, so they decided to be louder and prouder than the No campaign to protect our mob. They've been working really hard to insert the black narrative into the broader Yes movement and have incredible support from our community. Edie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And you've been working extremely hard. Now, what I'd like to know first, and we do this with all our guests on Urban Dreaming, is can you tell us what country you're from and what that means to you, what the landscape is and how your community works a little bit?
So, Wiradjuri country is huge, as I'm sure you know.
Yes.
So, it can extends all the way from the Albury-Wodonga border out through central New South Wales, up into the Blue Mountains. It's the land of three rivers. And my neck of the country is up in the Blue Mountains around Katoomba Way. So think lots of trees, lots of chasms, all of these like little hidden places and rivers that you just swim in all the time. I mean, it's bliss. It's absolute bliss. I pretend to be a city girl, but at the end of the day, put me in a river and I am happy as a clam.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk quite a lot about how we go back to country ourselves to energise. Is that your favourite thing, to go back and jump in the river, or is there something more in the community that gets you going?
I can't go. I was back about 2 weeks ago. I went up to the Blue Mountains with my partner, and he's not a black fella, but that's not his fault. And I made him come down to my favourite bit of the river, and I made him just sit there because it was too cold to get in the water.
So you were sitting in the river 2 weeks ago. I'm very jealous.
And I just made him exist in the same space because I needed it. It's just, there's I don't really know what the words are to explain it. It's just, I don't know, it's just like this complete sense of peace within yourself when you're at the most sort of happy, peaceful place that you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. And we all talk about, you know, country and our connection to country being the same. You can't really put into words what it means to be in country where you are. Now, we are in Naam, we're in Melbourne. This
yep.
is the Wiradjuri country that we live on here. And you and Tasha are doing massive things for the Yes campaign, Blackfellas for Marriage Equality. Tell me about that.
So Blackfellas for Marriage Equality was kind of born out of a throwaway conversation almost. And Tasha, bless her, she's not here at the moment, but she's just like a runaway train. So we just had this like passing conversation. Next thing I know, I'm admin of a Facebook page that is racking up hundreds upon hundreds, then ticking over to like 1,000 likes, at which point I went, oh, okay, all right, let's come up with a plan, let's do this. So it just sort of became this runaway train. It started out with the two of us, and now we've got 20 committed volunteers all around the country.
Wow.
Who are having conversations within their communities, talking to mob, especially talking to young queer black fellas, because that intersection is hard. Mm. I mean, being young, queer and black, like, whew, that's a doozy. So it's really a lot of the work that we're looking at doing is about supporting our mob and elevating that it's really, really quite okay to be young, black, and a brother boy or a sister girl or same-sex attracted or not sure. That's totally cool.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's massive, and we'll branch into why I was going to ask you why it is so important to have a black fellas for marriage equality as opposed to just jumping on the yes bandwagon and just being part of that. It is that idea of, you know, really having a visibility as black and queer or black and part of the LGBTI community, you know, in order to allow our younger generations to have a bit of a voice and to know that it's okay.
I'm going to preface all of this by saying that I'm in no way like poo-pooing the work that is done by the broader Yes campaign. Like, it is a huge coalition of so many groups coming together in ways that we haven't seen mobilize like this ever, but it's so white. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievably white. You don't see many people of colour, let alone our First Nations people, front and centre. We also live in a world that likes to sort of push out this narrative that we're all really conservative. Just this morning, I got into a little bit of a beef with someone who decided to tell me that, like, that being part of the LGBTI community is incompatible with Indigenous values, whatever that means. It's just there's sort of all of these barriers that sort of presume that either we don't exist or we are conservative or any number of things. And like I mentioned before, when you think about the intersection of being LGBTIQA, young, Indigenous, there are so many risk factors that come together, and there really isn't a big concerted push of visibility. Like, Tash and I are both young, and that is something that we like to stress really hard, that we are just like you. And that's totally okay. So we really felt that it was really quite necessary to have our narrative front and center as much as we can push it out, because unfortunately there are so many things going on that otherwise it wouldn't necessarily get thought about.
Yeah, and being queer identifying, how did that affect your relationship with your community?
Didn't really affect it. I have one of the most, like, beautifully accepting families in the world. I hear all of these horror stories about young people growing up and having to come out and having a really hard time. I think probably the closest thing to a bad time was my mum being like, yeah, I know.
Like, I've had this massive build-up, and she's like, we kind of knew already.
I think mum told me that I was queer when I was about 8. I was offended and then realised that's A, ridiculous to be offended, and B, oh, she's right.
It's mother's intuition.
So I come from one of the most sort of like beautifully accepting families, and we're all incredibly close-knit, like, especially on my dad's side, on this country property in the Blue Mountains, like, my grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, all of my cousins all live on this one property. Everyone just doesn't... Like, it's sort of as long as you are happy and you are healthy, you do you.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a very similar story to myself, but it is known out there within our communities that there is a hard time. Have you had any stories with Blackfellas for Marriage Equality that are either, you know, yes or sort of no in terms of how people have come out and whether they've been accepted?
Absolutely, and it breaks my heart. I think, and it was something that I hadn't necessarily considered before jumping into this, which was probably a bit silly, but the impact of having missions forced upon our mobs. So these really sort of strict religious institutions really sort of permeating through certain communities and then instilling that value that being gay or being gender diverse or being bisexual or whatever it is that you identify or who you are isn't okay, which sort of has these ripple-on effects in terms of, like, family not being accepting, but also, like, this really full-on sense of shame, which is... really, I find quite tragic. I was talking to a young brother boy who didn't know what a brother boy was.
Yeah, right.
He'd never heard the phrase before, and was like, oh, no, like, this is completely, like, a thing within the world and within our mob. Like, it's cool.
Yeah.
So in regards to that, obviously the plebiscite or marriage postal survey, it is a dirty word and it's not something that we should have it. We should have legalised same-sex marriage. But do you think, in a way, the silver lining, we have been able to, you've been able to have this movement of the Blackfella marriage equality campaign, and because of that, you've kind of got, I guess, a positive movement from a negative campaign?
Well, I think that there's a couple of silver linings out of the nightmare garbage fire that is this postal survey.
Good analogy, I think.
I like that.
That's the most PG way I can think of putting it, is that sort of, A, it's really galvanised the queer community in general. Like, we've all come together and been like, right, this is our fight, we will win this, and we've come together in a way that we haven't really seen in this country ever. Another thing that's been really good about it is enrolment. So especially with our mob, don't necessarily respond to organised politics, right?
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, yeah. When you think about the last 227 years, that makes perfect sense. but with the huge amounts of especially young people now enrolling to vote, that means that within, like, governmental and political processes going forward, our votes, our voices will start contributing as well. And then, to sort of like round it out, the fact that Blackfellas for Marriage Equality has taken off in the way it has, the amount of young, deadly people coming together to fight, and also talking about, all right, what's the cool stuff that we're going to do once we win this? That amazes me as well, that this is now a group of people that are going to go on and continue to fight for the rights of our mob in perpetuity, not just around marriage equality. This is just the first fight.
Yeah, and I mean, we do have to look at that silver lining, because there is that very real chance that, you know, it's not gonna bode in our favour. But it is, being Indigenous, or, you know, coming from any culture, really, community is so important. And you know, Blackfellas for Marriage Equality, this is just the start of branching out to the Indigenous community, you know, Australia-wide, or even worldwide, because we've got, you know, brother boys and sister girls in other countries around the world. And I have been watching in awe since I sort of started following you guys, at the number of people that are following, that are joining, that are playing along.
I got just a beautiful email from a brother boy First Nations over in the US, which is something that I never expected, and I never anticipated that we would get as much attention as we have, let alone internationally. I think they read an article that ran in Gaystar, which, again, I didn't realise was an international outlet. Apparently it is. Whoops.
There you go.
And it was just, it was along the lines of, I wish something like that existed when I was young, because I never knew that it was okay until I was older. And it was just one of those things that makes it, you know, it's hard and it's heartbreaking being queer in general at this point in time, but it sort of, it makes that grit and that fight really worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. We are chatting with Edie from Blackfellas for Marriage Equality. Big week coming up, big few weeks, big tomorrow. What's happening tomorrow?
So the National Union of Students, so they cover sort of university students, have called another day of action, so another big rally, which is open to anyone, not just students, down at the State Library at 2 p.m. And Tids Tash, who's not here today, but she is wicked, is first cab off the rank. So she's going to be getting up, speaking all things Blackfellas, making sure that our story is front and centre. And I think the best part is she is the first speaker. And it's not just the standard, you do an acknowledgement of country and walk off. She is the first rally cry of the day. And that is so exciting. So if anyone's free and in Nam, come down to the State Library, 1:30, grab a free T-shirt if you want, maybe, if you're really nice. We've got stickers, we've got some sweet banners on the way. It'll be good. Come rep with mob.
And absolutely, guys, it's not just about being a student or being a Blackfella. It's about our allies as well. And so, you know, we've got beautiful, beautiful listeners on Urban Dreaming. And so we do hope that everyone gets down and supports, you know, the Yes campaign.
Yeah, completely. And where else can we support the Blackfellas Marriage Equality campaign?
So the other thing that we've got on this week is the City of Darebin have taken notice of the amount of hurt and harm that's been sort of happening to communities around their LGA. So they're having this big family day. So we'll be down there having a yarn circle, doing some weaving, hanging out with the kids of Darebin, on Sunday. So come down, especially just be loud and proud to really sort of lift up that community. Otherwise, we are always, always, always after people who want to get involved. We're making calls, we're doing door knocks, we are talking to our communities. Please do get in touch, because there's always something extra that we can do. There's always that one more call that we can make. And that all adds up, and that makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. And the difference is a difference, and it is everyone's sort of job within our community, our allies, the Blackfellas, you know, anyone that's listening there, anyone with a heart, really, that Yes campaign, once that survey comes out, we want to make sure that people are educated. There is a lot of dirty, no vote, scandalous stuff happening out there, and we want to ensure we get to as many people as possible. Now, this is a little bit of a redundant question, Edie, but what would you like to see happen with that postal vote?
I'd like to see that be an absolute slam dunk. I mean, winning is one thing, but winning really convincingly, not only like A, we've got the win, but B, we've really, really shut down people like my best mate at Lyle Shelton. You know, our good comrades down at the ACL, we are shutting them down. So it's not just about getting 51%, it's about getting 70, 75, 80% of the vote. Because we know that this survey isn't the end of it. It still has to pass through government. We need to be putting as much pressure on as possible. I want it to be a slam dunk.
Yeah, absolutely. And what for marriage equality for Blackfellas if we don't slam dunk?
If we don't slam dunk, we pick ourselves up, we dust ourselves off, and we keep going. I mean, the marriage equality campaign in general has been going for a decade. I will go for another decade if I have to.
And I think, yeah, that's a big message as well, that if, unfortunately, it is a no, if that's what happens, we just keep going.
Yeah, the fight doesn't stop at the end of this survey. I'm not going to lie down in a ditch and be like, oh, well, I guess that's the end of that. No, I will go for another decade if I have to.
Yeah, we will keep going and keep going. So, yeah, watch out. You are on Urban Dreaming.
World, buy it by the scoop, no trouble, extra cone, creaming by the side, lick it up, make me wanna moan. I'm the leader of the bubblegum, yum, pop a bubble in the center, make a bitch wanna come, rub on my tummy, fingers sticky, so sweet, the freakiest girl in the sheet you'll ever meet, take me out the wrapper, undress me full stop, then pull me in close, fuck me hard non-stop, with this oochie wally wally, oochie bang bang, hey, it's you and me together, no gang. Make it clap, so I'ma clap, clap. And when I put it in reverse, he getting flashbacks. If you coming for my bag, I'ma clap back. And if you got a fat ass, make that ass clap. Clap, clap. Clap, clap. If you got a fat ass, make that ass clap. Clap, clap. Clap, clap. If you got a fat ass, make that ass clap.
Bye.
Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9. You are chatting tonight with Matty and Gracie, pushing my buttons. Gracie, how deadly was Edie?
She was amazing. And the fact of what Blackfellas for Marriage Equality is doing, as I said in the interview, the silver lining. Unfortunately, we do have to do this postal survey or plebiscite, but what they're doing is just such good work.
Yeah, it's massive. And I mean, any of those, it's just creating a bigger community of warriors, like Blackfellas especially, but then, you know, the greater communities with the Yes campaign and all of the individual sort of groups that are fighting for Yes. I mean, it's just building this.
It is. And there's so many people kind of that may not have created these groups, and then this campaign is allowing them to create them. And for the people that are going to unfortunately vote no, it's showing, yeah, we are here, and we're here, and we're here, and we're here, and we're just popping up everywhere saying, you know, we're not in hiding, we are going to vote yes, and it is going to happen.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I mean, you know, obviously, Joy community, we're going to be having a show on a Wednesday night between 9 and 10. I think it's called The Yes Factor, so that you can hear everything that's going on with this plebiscite, the postal survey, what's happening in the media, all of those types of things. That's going to be happening.
Yeah, tune in, everybody. Wednesday nights, 8:30
to 9 till 10. Now, talking about other sort of deadly Indigenous chicks, you missed out, but I did record an interview this morning with Layla Thacker. She's a great friend of mine, a beautiful Indigenous artist. She's professionally trained and based in Melbourne. We did an interview this afternoon about her shows that are in the Melbourne Fringe. So, with over 10 years' experience in acting, her studies in theatre and human movement have been both here and abroad. Since graduating from JCU Cairns in 2009 and the Actors Workshop Brisbane in 2013, Layla has been cast in numerous theatre productions, films and TVCs, most notably ABC's The Queen and I, Boutique Theatre's Fairy Tale Lives of Russian Girls, alongside Julia Morris in House Husbands, LA feature film San Andreas, and the award-winning Mirror Force by David Craig. She's currently an ensemble member for Melbourne's Boutique Theatre, Illumination Theatre and Girls Act Good. And she is in a double bill for the Melbourne Fringe Festival. So
it's opening tonight, her
yes,
show.
Yeah, I'm going to race out of here and hopefully get to her show by 9:30. Have a listen to this. So, Layla, on Urban Dreaming, we like to ask from which country you're from, as we like to acknowledge that Australia is made up of over 500 different nations or countries. Can you tell us where you're from and a little about the landscape and the doings of your people?
Yeah, so I'm a mainland Torres Strait Islander. I'm a descendant of the Meriamur people. So my ancestral islands are Badu, Erab and Marbuk. Yeah, but even up in the Torres Straits, you know, the five main islands there, we ourselves also have different laws and customs and languages as well. So for my people in particular, we really are all about the fishing culture and taking care of our community and basic instincts of survival as well.
Yeah, right. And earlier this year with Functional Arts, you made your way back up there, didn't you?
I did. Gosh, that was such an amazing experience. You know, I always tell this to people. With my experience with that project, as an actor, you know, I've been acting for over 10 years now, but that project in particular, it really was about giving back and using my skills and knowledge and training and doing something with that and giving back to my people and giving back to my community and not just about, you know, my profile as an actor.
Yeah,
you know?
And so what did you actually do up there? What was the project?
So the project was we performed a school play, a theatre production for the schools there and the students and the community, and it was called Love Drunk, and essentially the topics were about safe partying and things like that, you know, drugs and all sorts of, you know, issues that teenagers are going through. So yeah, we got to perform that and it was amazing because, you know, I got to connect with a lot of family members that were living there as well. So there was a lot of downtime when I was on that project and I got to meet my uncle's new baby and yeah, it was just really beautiful.
Wow, sounds beautiful. And did you get to your motherland or did you get close to it?
No, I didn't get to, I wasn't able to get up to Badu, unfortunately. There's no such thing as a weekend in Badu. I kind of had to be there for a lot longer. But there's definitely plans coming up soon for me to get up there and spend some real good quality time with my family there.
Yeah, because, I mean, on Urban Dreaming, we like to talk about country and what that means to us and how when we go back to country, we get energised or recharged.
Yeah.
How often do you get home and what does that feel like? What's that recharging? Or do you find that you get recharged here in Nam and that Nam's home for you?
Yeah, I think when we're talking about connecting to country and what that sort of means for me, the way I sort of connect to country is not only just because I was brought up in Cairns as well, so a lot of my family are in Cairns, they're in Darwin as well too, that was sort of all over the place, but I connect to country just by speaking my mother tongue, even, you know, and even connecting with other Indigenous people and having them talk to me about their cultures and customs, and we can share that as well. And that's sort of what it means to be an Indigenous person. It is about sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about that sharing or that sort of oral sort of passing down of stories, you are an incredible actor that does a lot of shows. In fact, you've got two on the go at the moment, don't you?
I do. So tonight I'm opening Prayers to Broken Stone by Boutique Theatre Company and also 448 Psychosis by Sarah Kane. And they're both at Gasworks Theatre and they're both for the Melbourne Fringe Festival. So I'll literally be running from stage to stage. But look, it's exhausting, but at least I can say I'm exhausted by doing something that I love. Like, not many of us get to say that.
No, that's exactly right. Now, you're on Urban Dreaming here with Maddie and Gracie on the panel, and we're talking with Layla Thacker. We'll be back after this song.
In a land upon which we stand, so much more than just the color of our skin. You see, the color of my kin is nothing like the one I'm in. No such thing as half cast. When we talk about black, you either are, you aren't. Results of the past, lines on the face of my elders, reminded of dark times. Why the stories that they tell us? Hey, I'm zealous of the real. My people around the nation, tell us how you feel. Just look at where we've come from. That things cannot be undone. Won't stand for the imp, and we gotta sing our own songs. I've been told everything that glistens ain't gold. No brightest touch, but with the lightest touch, I can light the path that we follow. Living on borrowed time, stepping through narrow minds. Wish we could press rewind, but this is what we got. So I say for our children, we'll continue building strong communities and help burst through the ceiling. Sing for our elders, those who hold the knowledge, our timekeepers and all our storytellers. Black, red, and gold. Sing for the black, red, and gold. Born into a world that's unfair, unclear of the journey that lies ahead. Water fills the eyes before falling like waterfalls. Sadness for our ancestors, happiness for the fact we're still here. And so we sing. Black, red, and gold.
This is Maddie. We've got Gracie on the panel there, and we're talking with Layla Thacker. We've just been discussing the two shows that she's in for Melbourne Fringe. Can you tell me a little bit about the shows? What's the rundown of them?
Yeah, so Prayers to Broken Stone by Boutique Theatre Company is written by Matthew Sinney. He's an amazing playwright. I've been working with Boutique Company for a couple of years now, and they're always about sort of supporting new cutting-edge theatre and new playwrights. But this show in particular, it's a black comedy. It's sort of set in an apocalyptic state and, you know, the family, it's about the Stone family and how we're all on our own sort of journeys and how this sort of crazy event has brought us all back together and all under one roof. So it gets pretty hectic. And as you can imagine, when in any family situation, when we get together for whatever reason, but then you sort of sprinkle an apocalyptic scenario on top of that, it's pretty intense, but funny. and then 448 Psychosis by Sarah Kane it's really intense. It's quite an unorthodox play. So you're going to see a lot of heavy, full-on confronting sort of stuff. And we really talk about mental illness and depression and suicide. So there are a few triggers in there, so that this is your warning. but it's so important today, and especially for our people as
well.
Yeah,
absolutely. Do you keep the audience at arm's length, or do you absolutely break down that fourth wall and get to our person?
It's not as immersive as you think. We're not going to be touching you physically, but we definitely will be touching you in other ways, spiritually, emotionally. But yeah, it's such an amazing play, and that show in particular, we've only got five shows,
and
we've been working on it for months and months. And you know, hopefully, we'll get enough funding and we can take it around later on. But please come and see it; like, it's amazing. It's an amazing piece of theatre.
Yeah, well, I'm super super excited, and that's the reason we're doing this chat now, is because you've got to go there tonight, and
yes.
And I'm going to race off after Urban Dreaming tonight to see it.
Yay!
Now, talking about shows that are spiritual and that are touching, you've done two or three shows at a time a lot this year. I think you were doing Russian Girls at the same time that we were both doing Black Diggers.
Yeah.
And we also worked on No Sugar together.
That's right.
What is it about those shows that compel you to want to work on more than one at a time, and specifically these ones that work on Indigenous voices and telling our real story?
Well, that's such a loaded question,
isn't
Matt?
It?
Oh my goodness, where
I'm
do I start?
I'm all about the hard topics.
Listen, I think with the Fairy Tale Lives of Russian Girls with Boutique Theatre Company, that was an amazing show to be part of as well. But when we're talking about Black Diggers and No Sugar, you know, those shows were really about, I can't even explain. It didn't really feel like I was doing acting work.
Yeah.
It kind of felt like I was just, you know, taking on the responsibility as an Indigenous person to actually be able to connect with the next generation, and not just the next generation of Indigenous people. It's enabling the next generation of all cultures to understand our history and to understand what a contemporary Indigenous person is. You know, and a lot of these schools that we went to, I mean, we went to thousands. We saw thousands of students, you know, and all from different ethnically diverse backgrounds. And a lot of them had never even had a conversation with an Indigenous person.
No, it's crazy.
So the questions that were coming out of them, it was so intriguing. You know, a lot of them had never seen an Indigenous map of Australia.
Yep.
You know, so it was really about breaking down all those stereotypes. So for me, it's like that was not even an acting job.
Yeah.
So it's easy to overlap. Sorry, I'm overlapping you now.
No, that's all right. You keep going. People hear my voice all the time. But what I found really beautiful about it as well is that there's a lot of hope in the next generation, you know, chatting to the students after just their questions, and they really want to know the real history of this country. They want to hear these voices. And it was so, so beautiful to work on those shows with you, and to see the next gen of, you know, Wadjula getting around it as well.
Yeah, Wadjula's Kole breeds. But look, I think as well, even after those shows, you know, a lot of teachers would come up to us and say, how do I find out more? You know, where do I go for information other than the internet? You know, because internet's just pieces of information, really. It's not knowledge. So, you know, I always tell them, go and support Indigenous artists. You know, go and support and see what they're doing. You know, and then you will build an understanding from that. You know, don't just study it.
Absolutely. Know? And I think the other thing that, you know, that people are getting better at is not just... you know, seeing those stereotypes or not just sort of taking what the media says as gospel and actually asking the question, why? Why have our people ended up that way? Why alcoholism? Why domestic violence? Why do we stand up as the new generation and also with the old people and want to have our voice heard?
Yeah, and see, even that's all real gammon.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, if you just even go up to the Torres Straits, you know, you feel that sense of care and love and that sense of community up there. There's no signs of alcohol problem and abuse and all sorts of stuff. So all that BS.
Yeah.
You know, we need to just knock that on the head right here and now. And, you know, I always, in terms of activism and trying to speak for our people, you know, there's a lot of protests out there, yes, but I always try to protest in my art.
Yeah.
You know, 100% in everything that I do. I mean, there's so much skills and training that you acquire as an actor, but the stuff that keeps me grounded when I'm in production or in an audition is to know that the blood that runs through my veins is made up of those Indigenous warriors that came before me.
Yeah. You know. How incredible is that? I mean, I was just going to ask you about your pre-show ritual and what you do. I mean, we had Mark Cole Smith in last week and
bless him.
He talked
Bala Mark.
He talked about how his sort of pre-show ritual was to lie sort of on the ground and talk to the old people around him and ask whoever is with him to come on with that strength, that warrior energy in order for him to be the best version of him. What's your pre-show ritual?
I have a lot of different rituals, not one for every single, you know, project, because all projects are different, but specifically for these two projects, I've actually gone and I've actually made up a playlist, because music for me is really, really powerful. It's a powerful tool. It changes your mood and, you know, it can move mountains in a sense.
Yeah, of course. Everyone's got a soundtrack for their life, don't they? What emotion they've got. They've got 100%, a song. 100%,
you know, it's like, what song represents you? This. But, yeah, for each character in the show, I've made up two separate playlists and I will literally listen, put my headphones in, get into that world of that character.
Yeah, well, again, that's important for you, doing a double bill at Melbourne Fringe.
Yeah.
What were the names of those shows again and how can people pick up tickets?
Yeah, so they're both at Gasworks Theatre, so that's really, really easy. You can go to the Gasworks Theatre website. They'll both be there. Prayers to Broken Stone by Boutique Theatre and 448 Psychosis by Sarah Kane by Illumination Theatre. Whoops, I forgot to plug them, sorry.
That's all right.
My bad.
And when does it open? When does it close?
So Sarah Kane, they both open tonight, Tuesday the 12th. And Sarah Kane finishes on Saturday the 16th and Prayers to Broken Stone finishes on the 23rd.
Okay. And if people want to follow your journey, where can they find you? On socials, maybe Insta if you like.
Yeah, I guess so. The Instagram, Facebook, or you could just come to those shows and I'll have a chat with you, I suppose.
There you go. That's a better way to do it. We have been talking with Layla Thacker about her busy schedule and, of course, her two shows in this year's Melbourne Fringe.
Yeah.
For tickets and info, you can go to the Gasworks Theatre website. Thanks for coming in.
Eso. Yawo.
Oh, it's always great to talk to Layla, isn't it? Did you enjoy that interview, Gracie?
I did, and I have met Layla before. We worked together on a show previously, so definitely get down and check this one out.
Yeah, you can see those. Now, another, we've had so many deadly Indigenous women in here this evening, and this one is no exception. Ladies and gentlemen, have a listen to this.
Ooh la la. Ah, let's find out what's hot and what's not. Click clack front and back, you're in for a bumpy ride. Quick stick styling hearts and your big hot forks. Step inside Missy's hot box.
Hello.
Good evening, folks. How are we?
Very good. How are you? What's happening up there?
Well, look, as pre-use all of that, my bloody bingo, in between playing with my balls.
Yeah.
Out to talk to you fabulous people, which I'm loving. But look, to be honest, the weather is starting to turn a little bit here, so it is starting to get a little bit moist. Aww. So I'm starting to get a bit sticky in places that I shouldn't be getting sticky. which would mean that the weather will slowly start to change in Melbourne, which is going to be exciting news.
That's
for
good
you.
Which is
a beautiful thing. You're going to come down here with your hot box as it warms up.
I'm going to come back, bring all my heat back with me, bring all my hotness back with me. But as mentioned last week, I think I mentioned that Queen's Miss First Nations is happening as a part of the Darwin Pride coming up in a couple of weeks, starting on the 21st. The Darwin Pride Festival starts on the 21st. But before that, and I'm flying back to Melbourne this week, actually, is because we're holding a party during the Melbourne Fringe Festival, which is happening next Wednesday night, the 20th, at Arts House. And, it's an all-sorts party. So we're encouraging all the community to come there, you know, all the blackfellas. We just want to make it a really safe space for everyone, all the brother boys and sister girls, and really have a great, big, fabulous party.
Yeah, what are you going to be doing there at the All Sorts party?
Well, it's basically like a cabaret night, vaudeville night. So we have the incredible DJ Foster, who is a fabulous Indigenous DJ that's going to come and play for us. We've got, of course, the fabulous Constantina Bush, who's going to be coming there and doing a bit of a set as well. We have myself and Marzi Pan. We have Nell De Silva, Dave Woodcroft. We've got the incredible Lisa Pellegrino, who's bringing two of her characters. So it's really going to be this is the big one, Garrett Lyon, who is a beautiful singer, actually dancer, actor, triple threat, really,
right,
who is from ACPA. And so he's going to come and he's releasing an album. So he's a deadly fella. From Queensland, who's going to come and sing for us. So
that's a huge lineup.
It's a huge lineup, and it's like, you know, it's free at the Arts House, part of Melbourne Fringe. So everyone, you know, get their booties there and come and celebrate with us, because we really want to fill the room with lots of, you know, community and lots of diversity, because we don't really see it a lot happening in Melbourne, and I want to be able to create a space where we can all come together and really celebrate.
Yeah, well, we had Edie in from Blackfellas for Marriage Equality, and we were talking about how, if nothing else, this plebiscite is ensuring that our community is growing stronger and stronger every day. So,
exactly.
I think that by the time your All Sorts show comes next week, there will be more of a community getting down there. So you're flat stick, I see. you've even done that thing whereby you've got a find Missy sort of a date thing happening.
And, you know, we'll be back in Melbourne for October, because I'm also in a Melbourne Festival show, which I'll talk about as well, because that's quite incredible. And I would love to be able to share that with everyone as well. But I can talk about that next week. Like, we can talk about that.
Yeah,
beautiful. One next week. But yeah, there's lots happening. So I miss you all and can't wait to see you all again soon.
Come bring us some warm weather.
Bring the warm weather, yes. I'll put
it
in
my box.
In my negligee, and I'll bring it back for you.
That'll be a beautiful thing. Now, I would imagine that very shortly your balls are going to drop again.
Yes, I have. Yes, I'm literally walking up the catwalk to play with my balls. So
oh, beautiful. I better go. Well, I mean, ensure that there's a great crowd there to play with them for you. I think
always is.
Oh, good.
I only track the best people to play with my balls. Thank you.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Doll. We'll chat to you
next
week.
All right, darling heart.
All right. Have a good night.
Speak to you soon.
Okay, bye. Done.
See ya. You're in Urban Dreaming with Maddie and Grace. It's Electric Fields now with Shade Away. On Joy.
You got my feet to dancing, oh Jilly, Jilly. You raise up the day, oh Jilly, Jilly. You got my feet to dancing, oh Jilly, Jilly. You just throw the shade away. Shining it.
Shade Away. I sneakily get Electric Fields in there as much as I want, Gracie, because I love them.
I know, you're begging for me to put them on.
I know, and also I love when our community interacts with us. And Brad sent in a little message to us. He says, as a cisgendered white gay male, he wanted to finally say that he understood the connection to the land idea a couple of years back. Growing up in the bush, he found that he'd lost his connection to the land. He needed to reconnect, and he needed his own block of Australia to get back in touch with that land. He says that although he didn't buy in the area he grew up in for various reasons, he found that being able to escape the city, being able to reconnect with the land, he feels so much better within myself. And that's what I say, that country isn't just for, you know, the Indigenous Australians, and we talk about connection to country, but, you know, everyone would have connection to country.
Completely, and thank you for interacting with us, Brad. It's nice to get a little message in on a Tuesday evening.
It absolutely is, and those thank yous go out to also Edie from Blackfellas for Marriage Equality. They've got their rally tomorrow at the State Library, 2 p.m.
They do get down there,
Make
everybody.
Sure you get down for that. And I chatted with Layla earlier today, so I'm going to head out and see her show. And a massive thank you to Ruby from Triple Bypass for helping me get that interview together. Speaking of Triple Bypass, they're up next. Ruby, Anthony and James are going to be talking to the London Bisexual Network on how to support the LGBTQI community in a professional capacity. Because, Gracie, this is Bisexual Awareness Month.
It is.
And Bi Visibility Day is the 23rd of September. So, guys out there, make sure that you continue listening to Triple Bypass. It's up next. Thank you so much for having us. I've been Maddie.
I'm Grace. And thanks for chatting on Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.